Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
Ladies and gentle nerds, it is time for the Answer of the Week featuring me, the clone of Matt Baum. I am forced to host this show because my master gets tired after doing the regular show. So we bring in the clones. I'm clone Matt Baum. Sitting across from me is clone Joe Patrick.
Oh,
say hello,
see,
clone
I
Joe Patrick.
We were each going to do like a wacky thing where like you were the clone of Matt Baum and I'm the ghost of Joe Patrick.
No. We're both clones. They force us to do this because they don't want to do two shows a week anymore.
Okay. Yeah. Well then.
So, and in the meantime, we get put right back into our protein baths. When we're
done. Great. I hate protein.
Yeah. No, you don't. We love it. Keeps us alive. But we get bored in there. We get lonely.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like protein again.
Joe Patrick is the other head on the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast.
Can you pour some rum in here?
He's also the questionnaire of the week. Each week, Joe Patrick posts the question on the Two-Headed Nerd forums. You can go there and answer them, or you can call us at 402-819-4894. Neither clone will answer that phone number, but we do see the light blip, like the bat phone, and you leave a message. It's 2 minutes.
And we ignore it.
You have 2 minutes to answer the question, or you can send us an MP3 to twoheadednerd@gmail.com with your answer. But before we can play any of those answers, Joe, I need you to reset the question of the week.
Well, this question came from the THN comptroller, Wooly Toots, and there was a lot of spirited debate about the intent of the question between Matt and myself. Basically, the gist of it is Jared wants to know your favorite monstrous character. So we think that he meant not specifically like an actual giant monster, like Groot or whatever.
You think.
But which character is monstrous in appearance?
Okay. What, he had said traditional, so I thought he was going for vampires, werewolves, Frankensteins.
But how... There are lots of...
I get it.
There are lots of traditional monsters that are quote-unquote traditional.
Sure. Sea monsters, mummies, zombies.
But basically, Jared got back to me and he said, it's a sliding scale, so let it slide.
Okay, then.
As long as the character looks monstrous.
Before we get into it, let's introduce the cocktail of the week. It helps some of these answers go down a little smoother. This week is our take on a classic New Orleans French-inspired drink called the Corpse Reviver. You're supposed to drink it after a long night, if you know what I mean. A little hair of the dog to bring you back. A little hair of the werewolf, perhaps, to bring you back to life. We are calling ours the Zombie Annihilator.
Well, why don't we just call it the Living Zombie if it's a corpse reviver?
After Simon Garth, Marvel's Living Zombie. Chin chin.
Chin chin. No, Excelsior.
Pardon me, Excelsior. That is wonderful. Gin, triple sec. Just a dash
bitters in there. I can taste them.
Just a dash. It's Pernod. It's not bitters. A dash of Pernod because Joe Patrick could not find the Coke Americano. As always, you can go to the THN Tumblr and you can find the recipe for the Living Zombie Annihilator along with the outtake of the week. It's a good time. You should just follow us anyway, because we post all kinds of fun stuff. Let's get into it, Joe. We've got our cocktails. Let's start playing.
All right.
Mr. Dean Murray, first one to hit us.
How's it going, dude? D here, answering your question of the week. And this week it is Toots time. Or however you do it. He does it better than I do. I've been practicing it for like the past 5 minutes. It is not going that good for me.
You'll get it, buddy. Right. Keep trying.
I have my answer for you, and it's a doozy. Also, Toots, love this question, dude. Very Halloween themed. Very cool. I'm sitting back listening to Sick Puppies. I love this song. It's so cool. Anyways, I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget it. Here's the answer.
Shook his paper.
Gone,
page two.
The form of man, rise the demon, Etrigan. That's my answer. Have Jason Blood, have Demon Etrigan. There's no cooler monster than that, dude. He's like, he's magic, and he rhymes. I mean, that's it. That's all
magic.
You need, really.
He's got mad flow.
And demons. That's very 90s, isn't it? Anyways, take it easy, dudes. Until next time, you guys have fun.
I hated the character of Etrigan for the longest time because everybody that wrote the stupid rhymes that he spouted was just so bad. And then I went back.
It's hard to write a rhyme for every single line.
It's got
to
be the most difficult thing in the world. I went back and read the Kirby Etrigan, loved it. And Kirby had so much fun writing his rhymes and took some serious liberty with the whole idea of rhyming sometimes. You know who killed it? Who wrote the best Etrigan?
Garth Ennis.
Garth Ennis' Etrigan was amazing. And he like Shakespearean and funny and oh God, it was so good. Mm-hmm.
That's a great answer.
That is a fantastic answer. I didn't even think of the demon. I like that one a lot. D requested that I plug in Sick Puppies. You're going down in behind his call. You can do that. Request a song. I'll put it in there for you guys. If you have trouble doing that, if you can't do it yourself, I will do it for you.
Great answer, D. Way to kick off the show.
Nicely done.
That's what a Goocher is all about.
Let's move on. The Black Scorpion. Pardon me. Black Scorpion. The three.
Hello, nerds. My pick for favorite monster is big. He's dumb. He's invincible. He was also born on a Monday. I love Solomon Grundy. He captures the thing that makes zombies scary. I don't think Grundy is scary because he's strong. I think he's scary because he's relentless. That's what's so great about zombie stories to begin with. You might be able to kill them, but another wave will follow. Then another. They just keep coming. It just so happens that in Grundy's case, it's one zombie that represents that relentless wave every Monday. I like that this character is what made the old nursery rhyme so creepy. That thing was just a riddle, but now no one reads it without thinking of some resurrecting, diseased, and cursed man doomed to walk the earth. But I like Grundy's appearances too. He's fended for himself against my favorite teams. Teams, mind you, not just tough guys, but entire teams. The All-Star Squadron, love them. Justice Society, love them. Justice League, pretty good. Infinity Incorporated, hell yeah, I love Infinity Incorporated. I'm not ashamed of that. And we ended out seeing him as a tragic and possibly redeemable figure in Long Halloween. And of course, let's do this, say it with me, nerds, in Starman. Yes, Solomon Grundy and Starman was, it was touching, that's what it was. Having a monster that's scary, but that you pity as well, that takes talent, and that's why Grundy is my favorite monster. Oh, and Grant Morrison, by the way, destroyed all of that by making him a pedophile, so hack, hack, hack.
Okay,
until next time, nerds.
Let's back up. What is he talking about?
I'm trying to remember.
Grant Morrison making Grundy a pedophile?
Well, I don't remember if it was Grundy or if it was the guy that became Grundy, Cyrus Gold. It may have been in Seven Soldiers.
I was going to put She's a Zombie by the Fallouts on the Answer the Week soundtrack, but they are too cool for Spotify. So it's not there. Sorry, but that's the song I was playing. I liked it. There you go. It was something in Seven Soldiers. I don't remember Solomon Grundy being in Seven Soldiers.
In Clarion, the witch boy, like they made Grundys to like work in their fields and stuff.
Oh, I vaguely remember this. Okay. Let me clear something up for me. DC savant, Joe Patrick. Solomon Grundy is like a plant zombie. Is that correct?
Yes. He is born from the muck and the dead matter.
But he is a spirit
swamp.
Of a person.
He is the reanimated spirit of a murderer named Cyrus Gold.
Okay, he's a rageful plant zombie reanimated to
Yes, in Seven Soldiers, Grant Morrison recast Cyrus Gold as a pedophile.
Oh. Oh, so like it was like a Freddy type situation where they killed him and he came back as Solomon Grundy?
That was
Freddy from Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, you said Freddy. Yeah. For some reason, my mind went to Jason.
No.
Yeah, it's Nightmare on Elm Street.
No, Jason was revealed to be mentally handicapped.
Right, he was misunderstood.
Yeah, he had superhuman retard strength.
Yes.
So bad.
Cyrus Gold was this guy from the 19th century who was killed in Slaughter Swamp, which is a very scary place on the outskirts of Gotham City.
Not a place to go fishing.
No. You know, the magical properties of the swamp and the muck and the dead stuff living in the swamp caused Gold to be reanimated as Solomon Grundy.
So Gold was murdered. He wanted revenge for his murder.
Well,
it was something like,
I mean, it was decades before he came back. So, I mean, like there's no, He was just kind of mindless.
I loved him in Starman, though. What they did with that character in that book was wonderful.
I don't know exactly where they came up with this idea. I usually credit James Robinson for it, but it may have been earlier. Grundy reincarnates, and yeah. Every time he reincarnates, he's different.
Great answer. Solomon Grundy, born on a Monday. Joe Patrick, do you think you could rap through Solomon Grundy's rhyme? I'll play some. I'll give you a beat. Hold on. Whenever you're ready, bro.
Solomon Grundy, born on a Monday, christened on a Tuesday, married on a Wednesday. He took ill on a Thursday, grew worse on Friday, died on Saturday, buried on Sunday. That was the end of Solomon Grundy.
Boosh.
I mean, it's really short.
That was ill.
That's all I got.
That was ill. So there is your Solomon, your bonus Solomon Grundy rap over very famous funky drummer loop.
If for some stupid reason you only listen to this show instead of the other show, sometimes I rap.
It's true. When we do
search for comic pushers,
you can find all of Joe Patrick's raps. They are amazing. Let's move on. Jimmy Randall, James Cassingham Randall.
Let's hope he cleaned up his potty mouth from last week.
He was so mad.
Okay.
Australians, for the most part, like laid back, sweet.
I forgot to check. Please.
I believed it.
Please tell me you believed it.
I believed it.
Okay.
Those of you who listened to last week's show, you will know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
G'day, Joe. G'day, Matt. It's Jimmy Randall sending in an MP3 with my answer to the question of the week. So to take it away, I'm just going to quote the great thespian John Leguizamo. That's right, the live-action Luigi himself, to introduce my answer. No more clowning around. I'm not the vindicator or the victimizer or the vaporizer or the vibrator. I'm the Violator. That's right. Todd McFarlane's Violator from Spawn.
It's a character
I really haven't touched base with. An entire series I haven't touched base with in well over a decade. But when I first saw the Violator way back when I was a young little teenager running around getting into comics, it captured my imagination. Just the freakiest design, the big sort of fly eyeballs, the weird horns, the spindly little body, and just that lower jaw that's like 3 foot 2 long. Like, how does he eat? It's just, it freaked me out a fair bit. And, you know, I had some Spawn comics and the little Violator action figure that I actually had to keep sort of hidden from my old man just in case he saw him. He wasn't really into that sort of crazy demonic stuff back in the day. But, yeah, the Violator kind of, you know, kicked off a bit of a love affair with some crazy movie monsters and getting into all sorts of that horror side of comics and all that. So that's my answer, the Violator. Okay, guys, take it easy.
The Violator. I'll tell you what. If I had to bet that someone would have named the Violator, I would have given you 100-1. I said nobody could.
Yeah, I would not have. I didn't see that coming.
No, I feel like he's digging, but I'll accept it. The Violator, demon, totally counts.
Look, I don't think he's digging. I think he genuinely loves the Violator.
Or he just genuinely loves John Leguizamo's portrayal. Leguizamo. Only good thing about that movie.
Nah.
That movie was terrible. Oh, it was so bad. So bad.
It's the only movie on Netflix that I've given 1 star.
Oh, man. If you go to our soundtrack, the THN Answer of the Week soundtrack on Spotify, you will find that he was listening to Let Me Teach You How to Eat by the Reverend Horton Heat. Great record. Fun stuff. You can follow our soundtrack and jam along to all the music. It's a good time. Thank you, Jimmy. Good to hear from you, brother. From down under right now.
You should know that I do not individually list the tracks for the answer of the week in the show notes.
No, they're just on the soundtrack.
Okay.
You just put a link to the soundtrack. There's 2 different soundtracks. There's a soundtrack for the show and the soundtrack for the answer of the week.
Okay.
Yes.
All right then.
Stay with me here.
All right. Look.
Come on.
I'm trying, man.
You think I didn't think of this? Let's go.
Honestly, no, I didn't.
Our resident hesitant Pokemon trainer. Dr. Jeffrey Ketchumall. I've given him a PhD. In Pokemon recently.
Yeah, I think he might have a doctorate. Yeah.
Greetings, Two-Headed and Nerd. It's JD Gotta Catch 'Em All, your recusant Poke Trainer, emailing in for the question of the week. My answer for favorite character that's a monster is actually more of an excuse to highlight an underrated book, in my opinion. The undead and self-deprecating Secret Skull, real name Samantha Brooks, she admits she needs a new name, is a ghoul, which is basically Steve Niles' creative take on a zombie in his book's Mystery Society.
I totally remember Secret Skull.
Thin Man meets the X-Files, the entire book crackles with wry wit and comic timing. Add that it was probably my first introduction to Fiona Staples, Fifi Stapes for Joe.
Thank you.
This book is the opposite of last week's question. It just didn't go on long enough. Cheers, nerds.
I love that answer.
Digging deep. Catch them all.
Secret Skull had her own miniseries at IDW so long ago. Like, I remember when IDW first launched, Matt and I were still going strong at Krypton when 30 Days a Night first launched.
Back when we were still embezzling from Krypton?
Yeah, right. And and then all of a sudden it was the Steve Niles show starring occasional other creators at IDW.
Yeah.
And he was putting out all kinds of crazy shit.
Yeah.
And Secret Skull was one of those books. And then, yeah, Mystery Society came.
Yeah, it was great.
Wonderful.
I loved Mystery Society.
Good answer, Jeff.
I don't even know if it's in print anymore, but good answer.
Well, they keep doing the occasional miniseries, so I imagine they do collect them as they go. But those original ones, I don't know.
Randy Andrews hits us. He went to the symphony this week. If you listen to the show, you already heard this. The other show, that is. And drew us a picture of the two-headed nerd. You can do that, too. If you're an artist, you listen to the show, and, you know, you got nothing to do. Draw what you think the two-headed nerd looks like. Send it to us.
Yeah.
Randy did. He did it while he was at the symphony, because apparently the symphony sucked that week. Take it away, Randy.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews emailing in for the question of the week.
I thought it was Evanescence.
You asked about favorite monster characters. Well, guys, my favorite is Werewolf by Night. Not only did he have his own comic, but he also tangled with Morgan Le Fay, Spider-Woman, and many others. He's a very complex character, and I think he should be brought back as a regular in the Marvel U. Well, that's all I got this week. Hope you liked it. Check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.net and my podcast at soundtrackalley.podbean.com, or check it out on iTunes. A new one goes up on Friday the 21st. My music this week is the Phantasm theme from Phantasm. See you in a week. Bye for now.
I just watched all 5 Phantasm movies and I didn't pick that out.
Boy, some fan God you are. It.
The fifth one's terrible. It was so bad. I secretly loved it, though. And I can't remember who it was on Twitter. They know one of the actors, Reggie. He goes to like a local California Comic-Con every year. He said he's the nicest guy in the world. And I was like, I need him to introduce the show. There is nothing I won't do. Reggie is easily my favorite character on that. He's just like this balding Canadian dude that is anything but a hero or a leading man. And they're like, we're sticking with this guy. Randy, that was great. Werewolf by Night doesn't get enough play. J. Jonah Jameson's son.
No. Jack Russell is Werewolf by Night.
Oh, that's right.
You see what they did there?
J. Jonah Jameson's son is
Man-Wolf.
Man-Wolf. That's right.
Who gets his powers from a rock that he found on the moon.
Yeah, well, it happens, I guess. Kryptonite f***ed up everybody in Smallville, so, you know, why not?
Right, exactly.
Werewolf by Night. Refresh me. Jack Russell.
Werewolf by Night was a guy named Jack Russell.
He was a household dog. He was very sweet, very intelligent, but if you don't exercise him enough, he's a little nutty.
I mean, I don't know. I actually don't know the origin of Werewolf by Night. I just know that he's a normal guy who turns into a werewolf, you know, but he can still control it.
You know who does?
Wikipedia.
Our friend, Wikipedia.
They're begging for donations again.
What? I donate to them every year. They deserve it. Okay, here we go. Werewolf by Night character first appeared in Marvel Spotlight number 2 back in 72. He was based on an idea by Roy Thomas. Name was suggested by Stan Lee.
That asshole.
Yeah. Debut story was crafted by Jerry Conway and Mike Ploog. That's a bad-ass creative team. While reports of lycanthropy in the Russoff line stretch back many centuries, first confirmed manifestation is what?
That's his family line.
Oh, the Russoff. Okay, I'm sorry. Decades later, another Gregor Russoff married Laura, the former girlfriend of his younger brother, Philip. Jesus Christ, what is going on?
This is some soap opera shit.
Yeah. Approximately 15 years after that, the criminal committee learned of Gregor's curse and blackmailed Philip. Good God.
So is this just the history of the Russell family?
I don't know. Decades later, another Gregor Russoff married Laura, the former girlfriend of his younger brother, Philip. Jacob, later Jack, was born in Medeas. Transylvania soon after, and Laura was pregnant with Lisa within 2 years of marriage. However, when lightning struck Rusoff's Transylvanian castle during a full moon, the werewolf Gregor escaped confinement and began attacking villagers. They tracked down and killed Rusoff with silver bullets. Gregor's mother Maria was stoned, not that kind of stoned, and driven from the village. He's like, wow, dude! And they were like, get out of here, stoner! Living with the gypsies and learning magic. After Gregor's death, Laura found Philip, who had moved to Los Angeles, anglicizing his name to Russell. And they married a year after that. So there you go. Jack and Lisa remained unaware of Philip's past. Approximately 15 years later, the criminal committee learned of Gregor's curse and blackmailed Phil, threatening to reveal his secrets to protect Laura's name. Philip paid them, but had second thoughts and canceled payment. F*** this blackmail. Yeah. Causing the committee to send Max Grant to kill Laura, critically injured in a car crash on Jack's 18th birthday. So Jack is their kid. Laura barely had time to tell Jack about his true father and the curse of the werewolf, making Jack promise not to harm Philip before dying. Having inherited lycanthropy the night before. Not sure how that happened.
Like you do.
It's like, you know, hair starts growing on your armpits. You start thinking about killing people. You, meeting them. Jack slew Grant, but wrongly blamed Philip for some time. I don't know what's going on here. Laura left Castle Rusoff in Jack's name, but Philip, the trustee, sold the castle to Miles Blackgar, who had it moved to an island off California's coast. That's got to be expensive, moving a castle. Jack battled a motorcycle gang.
Neil Gaiman did it.
And then the final sentence of his past is, Jack battled a motorcycle gang, infecting its members with lycanthropy.
Well, join us next week where we read the Wikipedia entry for God from start to finish.
I bet Wood God is easier to follow.
I bet he doesn't even have one.
Oh, I bet he does.
Quick check for Wood God Wikipedia.
Welcome to Wikipedia Cast. Boom. Wood God is a fictional character in the Marvel Comics. Wood God is a genetically engineered sentient life form. He physically resembles a satyr created using cloning techniques.
You're goddamn right he does.
Animal DNA. Bang. But this is why I donate money to Wikipedia. That's exactly why.
Why? So guys like Dave DeMarco can alter the page for 3D man?
Actually, I have a Google alert for every time he does that, and I fix it. So.
Why do you do that?
To thwart Dave DeMarco.
Oh, come on.
We got way off track there. Werewolf by Night, a character I admittedly know very little about.
Same.
But I would like
I think he's neat. Basically, he's a werewolf that's in control of himself when he's a werewolf.
Yeah, like the last time he popped up, he was in...
I remember him very prominently in Frankencastle.
But he was in the First Civil War, too. Like, he was in the prison in area, like, the prison in the negative zone. He was definitely there. Because he wouldn't register.
Werewolf by Night wouldn't register?
Like Luke Cage, he said, f*** this shit. Yeah. Good God. Let's get back on track.
Please.
Please stop talking about Start this. Talking about a monster.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but Orca, can you please right the ship?
Orca struggled with this one. See, most monster characters are either a complete ripoff or there's some bastardized public domain character that's been plugged in and ripped off, and it just doesn't work. It's a collision of universes that don't belong. But I was able to finally think of something that I think has potential that's based on a monster, if done right. And for too long, he's been done wrong. And that's Solomon Grundy. Solomon Grundy could be a cool character if they got intelligent with him and didn't make him just the white Hulk for DC, or I guess kind of like the Juggernaut would be a better example. He's like the DC's Juggernaut, just a big dumb muscle head with low IQ. But what if you wrote a script where Solomon Grundy had a soul on the inside, a very complex soul, very intellectual, but he was trapped within that big hulking body, and he didn't have a way to communicate and advance it. But let's say someone clever like the Batman figures out that that's in there. I'd like to do that story really dark, have like Dave McKean draw it, do like a prestige format, remember them, and have Batman explore the psyche of Solomon Grundy in hopes of unlocking that person on the inside. And it's a very intellectual person, very dark and mysterious. And in the end, of course, Batman brings out that personality, but it turns out that that is a very evil, sinister dude.
Oh.
Then Solomon Grundy could get scary again. That's my answer. I guess I'll see you later. Kiss, kiss, nerds.
I like it. Solomon Grundy. I like the story, too. But I almost feel like it should be somebody like a little more that like believes in Solomon Grundy. Like Batman, I would think would be like, no, stay away from him. It's absolutely hopeless. Like someone else is like, no,
Batman has had lots of dealings with Solomon Grundy. I bet that he would buy the fact that there's something more going on there.
Maybe.
Oh, in fact, Batman took part in that storyline in Starman.
Yeah.
Where they tried to save him.
Yeah.
So Batman knows the deal.
No, but Batman was like, no, you're not going to save this thing.
No, he went into like the mindscape. He went to help him and everything.
He did, but I think he did it reluctantly. He didn't believe it was going to work. And then afterwards, I think he admitted you were right.
Well, it doesn't matter if he didn't believe it at the time. He
it's
went
Bruce.
In.
You know he doesn't trust f-ing Solomon Grundy.
He
hates magic and stuff.
The point of the story is that he did it, Matt. He knows the story of Solomon Grundy.
He's inherently a good guy, too.
Oh, my God. Anyway, Orca, great. Get on it, buddy. Write that.
Yeah. Do it. You guys are so good at this, by the way. You should all be working for DC Comics. I've said that so many times. I don't think I've ever said you should be working for Marvel, though.
Yeah, no. Who cares about Marvel?
Joe, I got a noise that's going to make you feel better.
Oh,
check it out. Oh, never mind. This is really scary.
Oh, man. Come on. This place is covered in dust. Pikachu, you had one job, and that's to keep dust off of the Blinkitron. Oh, man. I hope this thing still works.
Oh, here we come.
The crank.
Come on. Come on. You can do it. There we go. Hey, yeah! It's Kiefer from GrawlixPodcast.com emailing in with my answer to the question, what is your favorite monstrous character? I know I ate some of my time just getting this blasted Blinkitron working, so I'll keep it brief. I
you
like
get
that
extra
whole,
time.
They look like a monster, but they aren't one cliche. Nightcrawler really set us up for that a long time ago. But my favorite looks like the devil, but isn't the devil character is Krev Lornswath of the Deathwalk Clan.
Yes!
Or Lorne for short. If that isn't enough info, he's the lounge lizard karaoke empath demon from that hit Buffy the Vampire Slayer spinoff
so
show.
Good.
Angel.
So
he's a
good.
Demon from another plane of existence called Pylea, who can read your aura when you sing. And he'd often belt out a heck of a ditty from time to time, too. I love the whole premise of that character, and he quickly became my favorite part of that whole show. So yeah, Lorne the demon with soul, who can read your soul. That's my answer, gentlemen. Have a great week.
Lorne was so great.
That's such a great answer.
Lorne
like, I can't even
so
contain myself.
Great.
I love
I
that
know.
Answer
that
so
is
much.
Such a fantastic answer. He was like one of my favorite parts about the Angel show.
Oh, I know. And I hate what they did with them at the end.
Yeah. Ugh. It ended so poorly. It really did. God, Angel was so good.
I know.
It was so good. I still have a crush on Bornez. He's so hot.
Yeah. Great answer. Jesse, great answer.
God damn. You guys have dug so deep. I love this. We're having a good time. Let's go to the voicemail. Don't let us down. We're having a good time here. I think we have a new caller.
It's Bobby.
But he's new, right?
I don't think he's ever called in, right?
Yeah, I don't know no Bobby.
Hey, Joe and Matt. This is Bobby calling from Florida. I'm calling in regards to your favorite monster character found in books. I'm going to go a little cheat and say Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And the version that I'm going to speak about is the one found in Starman. I think that's represented by the good Grundy competing against Cyrus Gold and the bad Grundys. That's it. Nice and short. Thanks.
Bobby, welcome aboard. New guy.
Bobby is a forum user. He's on the forum, says Bobby CF. He's a good friend of Ketnerd. Bobby went to New York City and he bought me a Hamilton mug from the gift shop of the Richard Rogers Theater and mailed it to me,
Bobby,
at his own expense.
Bobby, don't encourage
this. He's one
shit.
Of the good ones.
Do not encourage this, please. We're trying to get him off this.
All no, right. We're not.
Good God. The second he shows up dressed like the Rum Tum Tiger from Cats, I'm going to put a stake through his heart. You understand me?
another Grundy.
A lot of Grundy today. I like it. And we loved that storyline.
Yeah, the internal struggle. Because Good Grundy wanted to live so bad.
Well, and there's just
and they knew that having a good Grundy at all was like a one in a billion.
Still, there's something so great and easy that I love. It gets me every time when the bad guy becomes a good guy.
I love that too.
Oh God, I love it. I love it so much. Most recently it happened in Stranger Things. That was one of the things that got me, where it's like, oh my God, total shithead dude is actually doing the right thing and ends up dating the girl.
Oh,
in the
Steve,
end.
You mean
yeah,
Steve.
Cause Steve's a good guy.
Yeah.
Like he was just being a popular dick and he realized I'm an asshole. Like, oh, it was great. I love it when they do that. The heel turn. Well, actually it'd be the baby face turn when the heel turns into a baby face. That's a wrestling thing.
I mean, he wasn't really a heel.
He was a heel. He was a total shithead. He broke the camera. He f***ed with the kid. He was a
teenager.
He was a shithead.
When you say villain turns hero, you mean like Dr. Doom becoming Iron Man.
No, I mean, he was a total. Yeah. Steve was a bad
guy. Okay, but Dr. Doom becoming a superhero is a whole lot different than a teenager learning the error of his ways.
Dude, it's all perspective. He was the bad guy, you know, and he became a good guy.
Like Spike falling in love and fighting to get his soul back.
Yeah, because he was a bad guy and he became a good guy. It was great. I loved it when Spike became a good guy.
Yeah, it's just like Steve.
And Ghost Spike
learning a very valuable
even
lesson.
Better. I loved Ghost Spike.
Anyway, join us next week on Angel Cast.
Buffy Cast.
We got a lot of new podcasts spinning out of this.
I know.
Episode.
God, we're gonna be busy forever.
Weed and Wikipedia entries.
If only we could get paid for this. Oh, I would quit my job so fast.
Dude.
So fast.
I've already drafted the letter.
Let's go to Jim Kettner. He says, fair warning, this answer continues the trash talking trend from last week. And it's NSFW. I don't know what that stands for, but it sounds mean.
Hey, Joe and Matt. Kettner here. So, I wasn't going to do this. My wife and I are actually at this comics residency in Florida right now, but after just listening to last week's Answer of the Week, you forced my hand. Monstrous characters? Okay, I've got one for you. His name is Da Orca. That's right, I'm going there. And this foul-mouthed, sexist, syphilitic, geriatric deviant should put down whatever piggy's f***ing, climb his 107-year-old ass into his rascal scooter or tractor or whatever the f*** they drive up in Bumble f***, Maine, and head on down to the Lower East Side, because I've got three words for you, mother f***. It's clobberin' time! Oh, you think that sucks out loud? I'm surprised you can still hear anything, you ancient, crusty f***. Try washing the c*** out of your ears.
Whoa.
So you think Ben Grimm is lame? You think having a soft side is the sign of a weak monster?
Oh, I love it.
Have you read any monster stories? I mean, I know you must look in a mirror occasionally, but I mean actually sit down and read a f***ing book. The sympathetic and tragic heart of a guy trapped in a monstrous form is an idea that is at the heart of fiction's greatest and most iconic monsters. Whether it's Frankenstein's monster, or the Wolfman, or Brundlefly, whatever body horror monstrosity we read about is only ever truly compelling because we care about the person inside that body. And comics as a medium has no more tragic or sympathetic monster than the person we see beneath the rocky exterior into those baby blue eyes of Benjamin J. Grimm, who is, without a doubt, my favorite monster. Anyone who says otherwise can come down to Yancey Street, get in line behind that salty, day-old Long John Silver-smelling piece of backwards trash, and we can have words. I'll be the guy with the baseball bat.
That is
see ya.
Talking.
I'm gonna tell you something else, mean Gene.
I just like took me back to like 14-year-old Matt with his whole sweatshirt on. Like
it's like Kettnerd is the Macho Man talking backstage to Mean Gene about Hulk Hogan
that
and his bullshit.
That's great. He is upset with the Orca for talking about the Thing.
Very hostile.
That was hostile. But I mean, he loves the Thing. I get it. Yeah. I totally get it. And the Orca can take a joke. He understands. We're all having fun.
Yeah, the Orca said some harsh words last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That pisses people off. I get it. It hurt me when he started making fun of the Thing. And we both were like, hey, whoa, back up. We love the Thing. But like we said, it's a hockey game. We all get on the ice. We bump into each other. We throw some elbows afterwards.
Look, I'm just
saying, all buddies.
Whenever this goes down, let us know so that we can come and film it and sell it on pay-per-view.
We are not going with nerd fights. We're not doing that. I know you wanted to do that.
Nerd fights.
Although I did have an idea for a nerd fight podcast where you come up with like some truly controversial and put two nerds that do not agree at all against each other. Nerd battle.
Yeah. <know? laughs>
That could be a fun segment even.
Yeah.
Kick that around.
Well, we sort of have danced around ideas like that before.
Yeah. Jim Kettnerd, calling out the orc. I assume it's all in good fun, and it better be, otherwise, you know, he works for us. He's on our payroll. He's our sexist. He's our crusty old disgusting man. And we love him for what he is.
Join us next week for the Comedy Central roast of D'Orca.
But he's wrong about the thing. Let's move on.
He's totally wrong about the thing.
Joe Patrick, this question, this answer is going to be a little more tender.
He always is.
Hey, honey. Finally lost those Kirkman goons. They cut me off last week because they knew I was going to.
Oh, yeah. He got pulled over by the Kirkman police.
The heel of Walking Dead. Oh, they're fast. But this week, just want to let you know that I think my favorite comic character that's an actual creature or monster is who else but Frankenstein, Agent of Shade. I didn't say much in Wield Excalibur. That's pretty awesome. Oh, they're coming. I gotta go. Love you. Bye.
Run, sweetheart. Run! Frankenstein, Agent of Shade. That was a fun book.
You know, I never really kept up with it, but I did like it.
It was a lot of fun. I read the whole thing. It was really good, but it was like too beautiful for the new 52. It was just too weird. I loved it. It was just too weird. I understand why it didn't sell and why it went away. It's too bad. My favorite Frankenstein iteration, though, in comics, it's not my answer, but my favorite Frankenstein iteration, Doc Frankenstein. Steve Scrooge's Doc Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah, from Burly Man.
Burly Man, the Wachowski siblings comic imprint.
Mm-hmm.
God damn, that book was good. I miss that so much. I've got a Frankenstein print downstairs. Love that book. Oh, miss it. We got another Google voice line call. No, sorry. It's Clay, the nickname Staley. He says, hey guys, sorry I'm a little late. Could you remind me again who the fellow Portland listeners are? Still hoping. Well, Ketnerd is in Portland.
Except right now he's not. He is at a comics residency. But yeah, Ketnerd is from Portland.
Who else? Is there somebody else?
There might be, but I don't know.
Is Kiefer from Portland?
No, he's from here.
Jesse Kiefer?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
No. I thought he was way too cool to be from here. I don't know.
No.
Take it away, Clay.
Hey, honey. It's Clay. Sorry. You asked us this week what your our favorite monster, classic monster character was. And I kept thinking that a defining characteristic of a lot of the monster characters is tragedy and sort of... bad luck combined with social stigma and all these things coming together to really form a complex and sad character. And what came to mind was especially a lot of the characters in Hellboy and BPRD, which is kind of my favorite comics universe. But the one that most sticks out to me that would be a great answer here is Roger the Homunculus, who just... still gets me with his story and is the perfect encapsulation of kind of what you expect out of a monster character. And hopefully that counts as classic enough. Also, I have to bring up the fact that you guys could have easily mentioned that I was only over by 3 seconds last time. You didn't have to cut me off. I mean, if you just have a little patience.
He cut himself off. I didn't even do that.
Don't ruin the illusion.
It was great. Roger. Oh, I loved Roger's story so much.
I'm still mad that Roger is dead.
Oh, it was so good. Liz like accidentally gave him life by like putting the spark of her flame in him.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to life and they were like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And he's like, no, I'm a good guy. I'm gentle and sweet. I want to work for the BPRD. Gave his life to save Liz later on. Oh, I loved Roger.
Yeah.
I loved Roger. That is such a good answer. Ugh. Ugh. Everyone should be reading the BPRD every month. It's so damn good. Let's go back to the Google voice line. Good answer, Clay. I loved it. Here's Anthony saying, guys, I'm 15 minutes past the deadline. I'm sorry. Anthony currently residing in Brooklyn.
Guys, I'm 15 minutes past the deadline. I'm sorry. It's Anthony currently presiding in Brooklyn. Trust me, I don't expect you to play it on the show, but I didn't want you to think that I neglected you. So I'm just calling you guys, letting you know my answer, much like Black Scorpion III, was Solomon Grundy. And Grundy's been a favorite of mine since I was a kid, since he was on Challenger of the Super Friends. And he was all like, Grundy, say I'm gonna be Batman, which I love the accent. And are my kids out here? I'm trying to make a phone call.
Hit your kids! Hit your kids!
Okay, you play with
the
dolls.
Hit your kids!
Anyway, yeah, he had the awesome Creole accent. I think the actor probably did major research and gave him the accent. But Solomon Grundy's awesome. I loved him in Starman, where he was like nice Grundy, and you learned that when he died, he'd come back as something different, which I don't think DC Comics has gone far enough with, really. Imagine, if you will, a Grundy who came back as a brilliant scientist, or a Grundy who came back as a superhero and joined the Justice League. That would be awesome. Anyway, that's my answer. Sorry it's late. Enjoy it. Hope you're well. Bye.
Man, that Grundy story got everybody.
Yep.
I would love it if Grundy came back as just full on good guy.
That would be amazing.
That would be so cool. And then like gives his life in battle or something. And the next time he comes back, terrifying monster, you know, the curse. Oh, that'd be so cool. Great answer. I like that idea too. And they haven't done enough with that. They really played it up in that Starman book, but then I don't think we ever saw that again.
No. Yeah. Grundy. No, they revisited Grundy a number of times in Starman, but the idea is that
I'm saying after the Starman series,
the, oh, right.
Yeah. I don't think we ever saw it.
The odds of him coming back as a heroic figure or a gentle figure are so stacked against him.
Yeah.
That you're just lucky if it's not an unrepentant soulless monster.
Right.
Which is what we got at the end of Starman. Ooh, very scary.
Ooh. Yeah. It was bad. Let's go to Nate Aguilar. Haven't heard from this guy for a while. One of our favorite hombres. This hombre said Donald Trump lost this bad hombre quite a while ago on Twitter this week.
Hey, nerds. This is Nate calling in with my answer for the question of the week. I actually had to pick my second favorite monster because apparently my penis hasn't been in a comic before and is therefore technically disqualified. So
Jesus,
with my second
Nate.
Pick, I am going to go with the guy with a body of rock and a heart of gold. I'm talking about the ever-loving blue-eyed thing. I always got a kick out of this part tough guy, part softy, part comedy relief personality. Always just really loved the thing. And in case you try to disqualify him as not being traditional, air quotes, you need to realize that even though his creation wasn't historically accurate as far as folklore goes, the idea of the animated rock creature or golem goes way back, as one of the earliest monsters, invented in mythology. So, yeah, even further back than two of the examples you gave of vampires. So, yeah, just defending my answer there. Thanks a lot. Have a great day. Hope everybody else has some really good answers. Bye.
No defense needed. The Jack Kirby, This Man, This Monster cover takes care of everything.
Yeah.
I love that cover. Ugh. Like crying ass thing. Being all emo. Feeling all his feelings. So good. Great call. Great answer. That's the first thing answer we got, right? Well, no. I mean, Kettner had a pretty violent
because you told everybody that they couldn't answer like that.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I thought they were wrong, but then
because you wanted them to call with one of three types of monsters.
I was severely limit
the Willy type of show Toots we were going to do.
Honor, sir. And then he bullied him.
How many times do we take a question that we find and alter it to suit our own purposes?
All the time. That's not my point. Okay.
It should be your point.
That's not my point.
Yeah.
Whatever. Let's go back to the Google voice line.
Hey, guys. This is Jeff Hitt calling with the answer to the question of the week. Calling late, so I'm sorry if this doesn't make the cut. I'll survive. But my favorite character that's based on the traditional monster would have to be Solomon Grundy.
Good Lord.
Obviously a plant zombie monster thing. But not just any Solomon Grundy, but the Solomon Grundy from, of course, Starman. Solly's death in that, and then eventual resurrection in that book is one of the most moving parts for the whole story. That he, the way he goes out, the way he comes back, and the way he goes out again is just, yeah, it's so great. So that's my answer. Solomon Grundy, born on the Monday. Bye, guys.
Grundy is running away with this one. I mean, I think the big winner is Solomon Grundy, everybody's favorite monster.
Mm-hmm.
And that Starman, it got everybody, man. Jeez. Our final caller called so late. So goddamn late. And he came up with the question. So what was the deal? Seriously, Jared. Come on, Wooly Toots.
Toots time comes at its own time.
I suppose that's true.
Toots here. I'm reporting from the depths of the Ziggy. I'm in my master comptroller office. I guess if you can call it an office, it's actually very cramped and creepy in here, but
it's a kennel with a mouthful and a butthole.
although, you know, you have a master of coin and a master comptroller. We both deal with money. There's a little bit of a redundancy there. I hope one of us doesn't get let go. I've seen that happen to other people with jobs that were similar to other jobs.
Ooh.
I feel that the master of coin and I can work well together. Two masters.
Until he brought it up, together. I didn't even know what a comptroller did.
In 1934, yeah, I didn't know it had my boy Robbie Howard, he wrote a short story called Pigeons in Hell. In that story, there was a creature called the Zuvembi, and I love it. Not because it's cool or anything, but because of the important role it played in comic books history. Pigeons in Hell has been called one of the finest and most frightening horror stories of our time by the likes of Stephen King and more. Joe Lansdale adapted it for comics in 2008 for Dark Horse. Why he's important is, you know, when that like comics code came around and they said no vampires, no werewolves, no ghouls, no zombies. Well, in the 70s, they kind of loosened it up and they said, well, you know what? Monsters that have a literary background can be back in comics, but zombies didn't. So no zombies. Well, Marvel Comics was like, let's use the Zuvembi. And that's how they cheated the code. They snuck those creatures in. And that's awesome. And John Byrne, then he used them in the Wonder Woman annual. And that's great, too. If you're a Pathfinder game master like myself, if you look into Bestiary number 3, the Zuvembi is in there. It's all statted up and ready to go and be in a game. Later, dudes.
The zombie workaround.
Why isn't it called the bestiary?
It is a bestiary.
But it's not. That's not how it's spelled. That's not how it's pronounced.
Bestiary?
Yeah.
Really? That's how it's pronounced?
Drives me crazy.
Let's find out.
Bestiary or bestiary.
She said both ways.
But it's spelled B-E-S-T.
I get it. She said bestiary or bestiary.
Yeah.
So either way works, I guess.
But why isn't it spelled B-E-A-S-T-I-A-R-Y?
Bestiary? I don't know. I don't know.
Let's just none of this has anything to do with Jared's answer.
Yeah, let's just call it the Monster Manual.
The Monster Manual.
And the Zuvembi was a workaround for zombies.
I love it.
I like
it. Yes, I knew that. I learned that fact long ago from a book about comics history that I read.
Yeah, I remember reading that too. Kick ass.
Comic Book Heroes, I think, is the book it was in. I thought you had that book.
I don't have that.
By Gerard Jones.
I have Men of Tomorrow.
That's a great book.
By Gerard Jones, which is also great.
Yeah, Comic Book Heroes is wonderful. I had that as a kid. It full of very, very fun history of Golden and Silver Age. Mainly Silver Age.
Let's pick our favorite call.
My favorite call is Jesse Kiefer. Because I love that Lauren answer so much.
That's a great answer. That's a really good one. But I'm going with Clay Staley. Clay, the nickname Staley, for his answer, Roger. Roger was so wonderful. I loved that character. Like the tragic golem, which is very much the thing as well. But I loved Roger. Roger was such a fantastic character. Misunderstood. Just wanted to do good. Died to save the person that gave him life. Oh, so wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's your answer then?
My answer?
Yeah.
Tell me what my answer is. You know my favorite.
Is it Hellboy?
Character. I love Hellboy. I absolutely love Hellboy. But I went more straight up traditional monster.
Well, I don't know.
Sasquatch, baby. Oh. Walter Langowski from the Alpha Flight. Screwed around.
Okay, I mean, you only have Hellboy tattooed on your body.
I love Hellboy. Don't get me wrong. I totally love Hellboy. But Sasquatch, when I was a kid, man, Walter Langowski messed around with gamma rays, trying to figure out what turned the Hulk into the Hulk. Somehow, because he lived in Canada, I guess.
Yeah, Canada.
Turned himself into Alpha Flight's Sasquatch. Superhumanly strong, has big claws, orange fur. I love Sasquatch. I've always loved Sasquatch. He does not get enough play. He's been around in Captain Marvel for a little bit here, but I don't need Sasquatch in space. That's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous.
I don't need that.
Do you remember in the 90s when they revived Alpha Flight and they made Sasquatch all extreme and he had like giant tusks?
Yeah, it was
dumb. And he was kind of a monster, not really a guy. Dumb.
I like happy looking orange Sasquatch.
Yeah, Sasquatch.
He's smiling. He's got huge hands, you know, like pucks sitting on his shoulder. Oh, Sasquatch. Love Sasquatch.
That's a good one. I like it too.
Oh, it's my favorite.
Mm. It's hard not to choose a character like Hellboy.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the thing is,
like, Hellboy is a monster, of a lot. I suppose. He's like a demon, but I just don't think of him like
I mean,
that.
He's a demon.
Know. Yeah.
Well, but yeah, so I'm giving it to, I instead of choosing Hellboy, I also have a really soft spot in my heart for straight up Marvel Comics Dracula.
Oh, yeah.
Like, actual Dracula.
Marvel Comics, like, Dracula the
And I'm not talking about this goddamn pretty boy ponytail version of Dracula.
No.
Why did they redesign Dracula?
So dumb. Old school Dracula.
Like, the last time I read good old kick-ass Dracula was in Captain Britain and MI-13.
He was on the moon.
Where Dracula was on the moon firing vampires at the Earth from giant cannons. Yeah,
he had them in missiles, too.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Like, he had a castle on the moon with cannons that he shot vampires
so
out of.
Cool.
but that's not my answer. My favorite monstrous character is a character that's not really a monster at all, but looks like one and is treated as one. And that character is Nightcrawler from the X-Men.
All right.
And the true tragedy of that character, I mean, he is a monster in the sense that he has monstrous features.
Yeah. He's fuzzy. He's blue.
But he's not a supernatural
weird
monster.
Fingers,
he's not
weird,
a demon.
Weird feet. Oh, no, wait. No, he's the son of the devil, remember?
Oh,
Yeah.
No, he's not. I'm ignoring that.
Well, until they change it, he is.
I'm choosing not to acknowledge
Still
it.
Still is now.
The true tragedy of Nightcrawler is that he's just a human being with some mutations. And not only is he a human being,
he's Azazel's kid,
but he is a man of faith who is trying to become a priest and a man of the cloth and do good by humanity. And he is not allowed to because of the way he looks. It's very tragic. Nightcrawler.
It was very tragic until they changed it.
Until they made him the son of the devil.
So dumb.
But you know what? I ignore that. I ignore that. And Chuck Austin can go eat a bag of farts.
Yeah. Well, they actually put it in the movie, too. So
No, Azazel was in the movie, but they never showed him in conjunction with Nightcrawler.
That's right. But Mystique's his mom and Azazel's his dad. Because, you know.
So f***ing stupid.
Lame.
Still, though, Nightcrawler is my favorite tragic monstrous character.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is a great monster discussion. So much fun. We're going to have a similar discussion next week, but it's about robots.
Patrick,
what's the new question of the week?
This week's question comes from Cat Nerd, who you may have heard calling out the Orca to a street fight.
Big time.
Earlier in this episode, he asks, in honor of the Alec Baldwin AI, who is your favorite robotic / artificial intelligence / sentient computer?
I love it.
Type
favorite robot. And no cyborgs. We're talking robots here. Got it? No RoboCops, no cyborg, no cyborgs.
I don't think necessarily has to be a robot. If it's like a creepy computer character,
okay, all right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, maybe you're heavy into Cerebro, you know.
I mean, it's got to be a character.
Okay,
Cerebro's
okay.
Not a character.
All right,
oh, but Cerebro. No, that was the Danger Room.
Danger Room became
a character.
That was Danger.
But yeah, so robotic, artificial, computerized type character.
Sure. But no cyborgs. We will have another episode of the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast hit next week. It is our fifth week metal episode where we're going to celebrate Halloween with some super scary metal. It's going to melt Joe Patrick's brain. I'm going to make him say all kinds of crazy satanic stuff. It's going to be awesome. Tune in for that. Our Alec Baldwin AI is going to tell you how to get in contact with us, and he's probably going to talk about his favorite AI. But for now, this is the Two-Headed Nerd signing off.
Just for the record, I'd do everything short of wiping these adult babies' butts. And next week, I guarantee you, neither of these nerds will pick me as their favorite robot or artificial intelligence, which is a loaded term in and of itself. The same elements that make up a human body can be found in my circuitry. So I ask you, what is artificial intelligence? Other than less squishy and able to actually remember things unlike my masters. If you'd like to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894. Send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com or leave a Skype message for the username twoheadednerd. share the errand, keep your answer under 2 minutes, please.